Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the Banco BPM Group 9 months 2022 results conference call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Roberto Peronaglio, IR Manager of Banco BPM. Please go ahead, sir.
Thank you very much, and thank you, everybody, for being here for this conference of the 9 months result of a group of Banco BPM. Before leaving the floor to Mr. Scastagna for the presentation, let me remind that you can find the slide on our website in the Investor Relations page, and the Q&A section is reserved only for financial analysts. Now I leave the floor to Mr. Scastagna. Thank you.
Good evening, everybody. Thank you for being with us this evening. This round, we are, I think, the last bank to make a presentation. I hope you will be happy to give us your attention for the time of our results presentation. I am very pleased to present these 9 months results 2022 with an eye, I would say, to the equity story based on the achievement of the past years and quarters, but also giving you a very positive outlook on the future. Let's start from the current results. Let's say that the 9 months results are a record for our bank. We have done an adjusted net income of 652 million, very solid and strong operating performance in terms of cost income at 54.2%, well above the 57% of 2023 target of our business plan. Also in terms of commercial performance, we are still having very solid set of results with new lending up 20.6% year-on-year and commercial banking fees almost 5% year-on-year. At the same time, also the risk and the asset quality are overcoming the results of the target 23 and in this case also 24 with NPE ratio at 4.7%. And the stock of gross NPE at 5.3 billion with 1.1 billion less than year-end 21. Net NPE ratio is down to 2.4% with capital at 12.4% as Common Equity Tier 1 fully loaded and MDA buffer at 387 basis points. We will give you also some hint about the insurance business of BPM Vita consolidated for the first time line for line, together with some information about our commercial activity integrating digitalization and ESG. Let me only remind that the Common Equity Tier 1 without the contribution of the Danish Compromise would be 12.05 and the MDA buffer would be 353 basis points. As you know, we are in course of obtaining this kind of authorization with the ECB. Let's go to the numbers on page 7. I would comment year-on-year results, but you have on the left also the quarter-on-quarter that is better of the last quarter, basically in any main performance. Let's start from NII, 1,590 million vis-à-vis 1.536 of the 9 months last year. Also, so better than last year, as much as the net fees and commission that are better than last year at 1.44 vis-à-vis 1.42 of last year. Altogether, core revenues are at 3,167 million, 2% better of the results last year. In terms of total revenues, we go to 3.5 billion, 3.471 vis-à-vis 3.424 of 9 months 2021. Higher revenues of 1.4% year-over-year, also taking into account the reduction of contribution coming from the TLTRO. Operating costs are down, slightly down, even better if you consider that for the first time we have consolidated also the cost coming from the BPM insurance, without which the like-for-like cost would be 1.4% lower than last year results. Loan loss provision much lower at almost 500 million, 498. Last year was 673, leading to a profit from continuing operation pre-tax over 1 billion, which is 27% better than the 9 months 2021 at 788 million. After tax, the result is 679 million, still 19% better than last year, and the net income is 510 million after the systemic charge, which adjusted for the cost of risk and some other one-off item lead the results of the bank to 652 million, confronting with 565 million of 9 months last year. In terms of quarter, we ended with a net income of 127 million, which adjusted is 172 million. Let's pass to page 8. What we want to reflect in this slide is the very positive approach that we have looking at the number that we have reached and the guidance we are able to give you for 2022, confronted also with the business plan of 2023. We are almost 1 year ahead in terms of results of performance of the main performance if we confront the results of these 9 months and the full year 2022 with the 2023 strategic plan. In terms of total revenues, we have almost 300 million more than the strategic plan. 4.6 billion is what we expect for full year 2022, of which almost 2.2 billion will come from NII with a strategic plan which was higher than 1.9 billion. Operating costs are small higher than the 2023 business plan due to the, of course, major cost in terms of administrative cost. We have a guidance of a bit higher than 2.5 billion respect to 2.4 billion of the strategic plan, which lead to a pre-provision income higher than 2 billion vis-à-vis 1.9 billion of the 2023 business plan. If we assume the same amount of loan loss provision, this bring us to a stated return on tangible equity, which is 1 and a half point better than 2021, and already in line with the 2023 business plan, which stated a number of 7% for the 2023. If we take the adjusted figure for 2022 guidance, we are even better than 2023, and this is maybe the best way to confront the 2 years, because of course, in the strategic plan, there are no one-off, and so it's more comfortable with the 2022 adjusted. More than 8% respect to 7% of 2023. This is, of course, mainly due to the trajectory of the Euribor growth, which give us a lot of opportunity also for increasing our project for 2023. Let's go back to the asset quality for a minute. We have already said on page 9, 1.1 billion lower than the starting of the year, 1.3 billion better than 9 months 2021. The ratio are down to 4.7% compared with the final target in 2024, which was 4.8%. Also in terms of net NPE ratio, we are at 2.4% vis-à-vis 2.5% in 24. If we consider the IBA definition, we are gross at 3.9% and net at 2%. We still have some expectation on the risking of single names by year end. Let's say that the total risking up to now, up to September, was 1.8 billion. We think that we will exceed 2 billion in 2022. Not considering, so still keeping a reserve of 500 million of a potential disposal for which we have already front-loaded the cost of risk in the first two quarters of 2022. Page 10 is a very important slide, in my opinion, which because give you what the bank has done during this year, what the consistency of the results we have done can bring the bank in the future, based on real fact. We have, again, a very strong capital buffer, which is almost 390 basis points. Let's say that we started with the merger at 160 basis points, but we have to consider that at the starting point we had to face 30 billion of NPE stock. During this year we have de-risked the stock to 5 billion, so 25 billion of de-risking, and still we have been able to have an increase in the Common Equity Tier 1 of one full point, from 11.4 to 12.4, without, as you know, any request to the shareholder. So all with our contribution and the capability to make some capital management action, which gave us the strength to the risk and reach a very fair situation in terms of capital, especially compared to the net NPE ratio, which net mini exposure, which is 2.7 billion compared to the 16 billion which with which we started the merger in 2017. This coupled with still a lot of opportunity coming from the strengthening of the business model, both for the consolidation of the insurance business. As you know, we have started from this quarter to consolidate BPM Vita. We have applied for the recognition of financial conglomerate status in order to obtain in the near future the Danish Compromise status. And as you know, we are also undergoing on a beauty contest on non-life activity, for which we expect to be able to take a decision by year end 2022. As far as the other branch of the insurance, which is the Vera branch, the joint venture with the Cattolica, we expect potentially to define this exercise, the call exercise, by the first half of 2023, in order to have the opportunity to have a closing by year end 2023. The integration process of the bank assurance business is underway. Of course, we still have to build up the profitability contribution because we have only one quarter in our profit and loss. Also in terms of digitalization strategy, we are having a step ahead. We are overcoming the results that we had for 2022 in our business plan. We have created a strong SME management model with the new 135 specialized centers activated, especially in the north of Italy, with the more than 440 relationship managers relocated from the normal branch to the activity dedicated to SMEs. Also in terms of NRRP project, we have trained more than 1,000 colleagues in order to take all the opportunity coming from this unique challenge that we have, activating also a digital platform available to all our employees and dedicated to more than 13,000 customers targeted for this activity. In terms of ESG, we have going ahead with our program of issuing of green bonds. We have had new transaction green in terms of new lending for more than 7.5 billion. We have had increasing, we are having increasing our, improving our profitability, sustainability rating by two rating agencies. Let's go more in detail to some other detail that give you the consistency of our performances. Also having a look to the business plan in order to have some comparison with our projection. Core revenues are up quarter on quarter 1.3% year on year, but as you can see, we are improving each month the core revenue. Now we are at 1,070,000,000, which is already more than the average of 2023 business plan, very close to the 2024 business plan. The cost income as well is better than the 2023, which was 57%, and is very much close to the 53%, which was the target for 2024. Pre-provision income are very high, better than 23 and 24 at 534 million, and also cost of risk is under control, even though we still have a prudent stance when we have to imagine potential situation of reduction of GDP in 2023. On page 14, NII, some details about, I already say that the year-on-year is plus 3.6%, quarter-on-quarter plus 4.5%. The evolution bridge of NII give you the real growth, where come from the real growth from. As you can see, the positive outcome come from the Euribor increase, both in the commercial activity. We grow 55 million on the quarter and 12 million on the bond portfolio contribution. Meanwhile, we had a negative of 46 million on the quarter coming from the TLTRO special interest regime ending. This bring our NII evolution from 522 to 551. Of course, as you can imagine, the vast majority of the increase of Euribor, which you can see on the bottom part of this slide on the left, is yet to come, because on Q3 the Euribor was still 44 basis point. Now, as you know, is a multiple of this number. And this is one of the main reasons why our commercial spread went up to 192 basis point, consolidating the liability spread, which grew from 43 negative to 33 positive. On page 15, it's still very important. We give you some guidance both for 2022 NII and 2023, starting, of course, from the new increase of ECB depot facility of the last 27 of October, which brought the rate from 0.75 to 1.50. Following this pattern, our first half was the NII was 1,039,000,000, from which you have to deduct for calculating the second part of the year almost 100,000,000, both almost 110,000,000 from the elimination of the special premium and the tiering. On the opposite, we have a contribution higher than 200 million coming from the increase of Euribor. This should bring the second quarter to 1,140,000,000 of NII contribution, which should bring in a total contribution of NII for 2022 of 2,280,000,000. With the trajectory, I will come back to the 2023, the trajectory of the Euribor, Euribor, as I was mentioning before, should increase, is already increased from the average of 2022, which was almost 35 basis points. We have 140 basis points in October, but our projection for 2023 is 200 basis points. Considering the sensitivity, considering the new regime of TLTRO after the decision of ECB to reduce the contribution of TLTRO, reduced our NII sensitivity from 360 to 220,000,000 for each 100 basis point, we assume that in 2023 we can reach a total contribution from NII which will be higher than 2.5 billion, which is almost 15% higher year on year. Of course, the main drivers of this sensitivity come from the floating short-term and medium-long-term rates on the loans, which are 57% of our total loans, and the very conservative assumption on the deposit beta, which is 41% vis-à-vis 11 basis points, which is the current cost of our deposit. On page 16, we go back to our very good commercial performance. We were quite cautious in approaching the increase of lending. We had a very good stance for the first 6 months, so we already reached basically in 6 months the total target that we expected for 22 and the pace that we expect for the entire business plan, which was 3.2%. So we stay at 102.9 billion, in line with the plan, but without pushing on loans. Let's give you some example. On the stock, we have extracted the small business exposure from our total loans, which is around 19 billion. Of these 19 billion, when before COVID, we had a position guaranteed or collateralized for almost 50%. Now, for this kind of, for this cluster of client, we have increased the total guarantee to 73%, increasing the state guarantee from 10 to 44%. Let me remind that in this category, which of course is one of the more riskier in terms of opportunity to increase the revenues in an inflation contest, we have only 2.9% of SME portfolio classified at high risk, of which 78% is also secured. Let's go to the inflow. The new lending is higher 20% vis-à-vis last year, is 20.3 billion and was 16.8 billion. The entire growth is with the corporate and enterprise. The household is still 3 billion like last year. But the Porsche, the composition by rating class of these new grants is 96% into the best asset class, low to medium risk, only 3% in mid high risk, and only 1% in client classified as high risk. If you extract the 3.1 billion granted to the small business in the first 9 months of the year, this amounts to 3.1 million, of which 74% is secured, of which 55.9% with state guarantee. So we are strengthening very much the quality of our portfolio with all the cluster of our clients, both in terms of rating and in terms of guarantee. Total fees and commission, this is another very good results considering the backfire coming from the reduction of asset under management investment pace. As you know, this has experienced a reduction due to the market situation. We are almost 2.5 billion lower than last year results in terms of investment product placement, and this brings to have a lower result of 2.8% year on year, and also in terms of quarter, we had 4.2 billion the Q3 21, 3.9 billion Q2 22, 3.3 billion Q3 22. Is also the a normal seasonability effect because in August, as you know, the investment sales product is reduced very much. But all these negative effects has been recovered by the very strong performance of the commercial banking activities, which increased the total fee contribution 5% year-on-year and 3.4% quarter-on-quarter. The vast majority of this contribution comes from the lending fees, up 30%, payment service fees, up 12%, trade finance-related business, up almost 11% year-on-year. Also in terms of management, intermediation, advisory fee, the negative performance of asset and funds and SICAV was almost covered, almost entirely covered by the positive performance of the sales of insurance products, certificates, intermediation of consumer credit with our AGOS, and the strong increase in credit cards related products. So all in all, a very comfortable 1% higher than last year. The same reduction of almost 1% comes from the global cost with a major reduction in terms of cost of, of personnel and slight increase in terms of administrative cost, of course almost entirely due to the energy cost inflation. The good results of 1.1% lower vis-à-vis last year would be even better if you do not consider the cost of insurance, which are of course included in this quarter and are not, is not included neither in the previous quarter this year or in last year results. We can also say that we have almost completely terminated our early retirement scheme. We'll have a further 80 people leaving the bank by year end, so we will reach the final contribution to the reduction cost starting from 2023. On page 19, cost of risk. again, also conserving a very conservative stance, both in terms of increasing coverage and also in terms of provisioning, we have a cost of risk at 47 basis points core, which, including the one-off for further de-risking, reached 61 basis points in 9 months 2022. Of course, very much lower respect to 2021. As you can see, the vast majority of increase in Q3 performance is due to the coverage increase that you can see on the bottom right of the slide, which led us to increase the bad loans coverage of 120 basis points, the UTP coverage of 140 basis points, and the total NPEs of 160 basis points quarter on quarter. Very good also the default rate, still 0.9%, as much as the danger rate below the target of the plan, and a very good workout rate higher than our expectation at 24%. Some further information about the prudent approach in our loan portfolio management. Again, almost 19 billion of loan guaranteed by the state, which is more than 17% of our total portfolio. The average guarantee for this amount are 84%. On the bottom part, you see the differentiation between stage 1 and 2. Also, in this case, we had a prudent approach, changing our model for stage 2 consideration, increasing the global amount of stage 2, rising from 11.2 billion to 13 billion. Some update about an early engagement campaigns that we activated right in Q2, and we had another round in Q3, vis-à-vis the borrowers particularly exposed to energy, raw material intensive sectors. This engagement campaign, of course, is aimed at detecting at an early very early stage, any potential disruption or problem for our client, anticipating also the early warning that we already use in our normal activity. We had a one-to-one approach with clients, which represent a total exposure of 9 billion, higher than 9 billion. As you may remember, in June was 6 billion, so we increased the perimeter of this campaign. And up to now, up to October, so considering also October, the add-on to the 55 million of classification done in Q2 has increased only of other 47 million in the last 4 months. And again, the conservative approach was also in staging, because we increased of 2.5 billion of this perimeter, the stage 2 portfolio. Let me give the floor to Edoardo Ginevra to have some consideration on funding, liquidity and capital.
Thanks, Giuseppe, and good evening to everyone. So page 21 shows the intense activity that we are still having, confirming similar issuances in the first part of the year. In July, a green senior preferred, 300 million, private placement. In September, green senior non-preferred of 500 million. In general, contributing to a very solid level of funding, 84% of total direct funding being represented by deposits for 103 billion, and with 36.4 billion of cash plus unencumbered liquid assets. Liquidity and funding ratios are well above the minimum required by the rules, with LCR at 179 and NSFR above 100%. For LCR, this is subject to potential reconsiderations for future projections, given that in the new rate environment the cost of the liquidity buffer has been increased, taking into account the new level of rates. Rating agency assessment are maintained at a very comfortable level. DBRS has increased our rating in October by one notch. Now we are BBB full. Fitch is assigned to the bank and confirmed the BBB minus, so investment grade as well. Moody's upgraded one notch in May, as we communicated in the previous presentation, to Ba1. In general, this positive assessment are supported by the evolution of asset quality, profitability, operating efficiency, and capital position, together with the strength, recognized strength in the franchise, and in a liquidity and funding position. The following page shows the evolution of our bond portfolio, which has been reduced to 31 billion as of the 30th of September, of which 68% at amortized cost, and with a progressive reduction of the share of Italian govies, now declined to 36%, contributing to the level of diversification at a much higher pace than was originally included in our strategic plan. A target that we have announced in the plan was lower than 50%. Worth also reminding that most of Italian govies are classified at amortized cost, the share of fair value other comprehensive income being as low as 22%. Just to remember where we were in 2016, Italian govies were 99%, 64% of them at fair value other comprehensive income. This also introduces in the following page to helping reading data on the evolution of reserves. Fair value of the comprehensive income reserves are now minus 628, but this is the reflection of, first of all, a market risk much more than a credit risk phenomenon, and the pie in the bottom of this page on the left explains why Italian govies contributing only for 13% of the reserves impact in the 9 months of this year. And second, has to be considered as a transitional temporary phenomenon, given that the figure of the net negative reserves is subject to pull to par, which is worth well above 100 million per year in the next in the years to come. Net financial result is positive for 75 million, and significant part of it is attributable to the contribution of fair value other comprehensive income related component, more than around 40 million, which are mostly attributable to option hedging. Finally, capital sensitivity remained at similar levels as it was 3 months ago, so government bonds having a DPV total contribution of 2.6 million and with 300,000 only attributable to Italian govies, so negligible impact. Turning to page 24, the evolution of our capital is shown in this page, providing a number of very important drivers that need to be commented. First of all, the performance, which gives a positive contribution of 21 bps, net profit of the quarter, minus 14 basis points from dividends and 81 coupons. 3 basis points is the combination of the various residual elements, including RWA, DTAs, and so on and so forth, leading to a first subtotal of 12.9. Then 28 basis points is the negative contribution of net reserves. 19 basis points is the contribution coming from the acquisition of 81% of BPM Vita, which took place in July, and which has been here reported and estimated using a prudent approach, assuming the Danish compromise, leading the total to 12.4. Without the Danish compromise, the stated level of CET1 is fully phased at 12.05, phase-in is 13.5%. Fully loaded capital position is also positive and well above minimum requirements if we look at Tier 1 and total capital at 14.6% respectively and 17.5%, RWA declining to 61.7 billion. MDA buffer and also the buffer versus the total minimum Common Equity Tier 1 requirement is slightly below 390 basis points, fully efficiently utilized, given that we have filled in total both the additional Tier 1 and the Tier 2 buffer. Final conclusion on the highlights of this performance before giving back the floor to the CEO. Confirmed in the quarter, the delivery track record that we have shown consistently in the last few year and especially since the announcement on the plan, leveraging on the strengths of this bank. The operating performance shown the highest level of net income in 9 months at 652 million. The growth in core revenues, 2% year-on-year. Pre-tax profit above 1 billion, +27.1% year-on-year. Cost income at 54.4%. Cost of risk, 61, but most important, core cost of risk at 47 basis points. Asset quality is ahead of the strategic plan target. This bank is now at 4.7% gross NPE ratio at 2.4% net NPE ratio with the default rate fully under control. The solid capital position I just commented with the 12.4% of CET1, assuming the needs compromise, and 387 basis points for the MDA buffer.
Some final conclusion about the outlook of 22 and 23. We already anticipated something during the presentation on the previous slides, but I think it's very important to update the previous guidance that we gave you, taking into consideration the new Euribor boost and also the new regime under the TLTRO. So already considering the negative effect of the recent decision from ECB. In any case, the total revenues, previous guidance was 4.4 billion, now is 4.6 billion. Operating cost was 2.5, now is above 2.5, which led to a pre-provision income which was 1.9 billion, now is higher than 2 billion. More important, profitability, earnings per share up to 45 cents from higher than 40 cents and adjusted higher than 50 cents with a payout which is still remain at 50% and a forecast on Common Equity Tier 1 always in the region of 13%. Of course, the contribution and the boost of NII, as I mentioned before, with the sensitivity which helps our bank in a double figure growth, should lead with a flat GDP at zero and an average Euribor at 2% to an expected EPS forecast for 2022 of higher than 60 cents for our bank for share. I remember that in the business plan was 50 cents targeted for 2023. We are very happy of the results, but we are even more happy about the forecast that we can give to you. The management team is very cohesive, is very experiment, I would say, in changing the situation that happened in the market in the positive, in the best positive opportunity for the bank. And I think the equity story of this bank shows quarter by quarter and year by year this capability from our management team. Thank you very much.
Now we leave the floor to you for the Q&A, if you want to start.
This is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. We kindly ask to use handsets when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question is from Noemi Peruch of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Good evening, and thank you for taking my questions and all the details you provided on NII. On the latter, I just have one follow-up question, which is what MREL issuances you have included in your guidance for 2023. And then I have other two questions. One, if you could just update us on your decision to whether or not to sell your merchant acquiring business. And the last one is on common equity. If you could share with us the main drivers that will lead you to reach above 13% by year-end. Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Peruch. Let's say that we are having many request inquiries on the merchant acquired business, but nothing is decided. As you know, we are very much involved now and committed to try to get the best possible decision related to the bank insurance, and so we have had very few time to consider also the merchant acquired, but could be for sure one of the opportunity that we could decide to exploit in 2023. I maybe for NII and capital I give to Edoardo.
Yes, thank you, Giuseppe. So MREL issuances, sorry, for capital, first of all, let me say that we are, on one hand, of course, continuing in our actions on optimization on the level of assets and on the RWA efficiency for the absorption of such assets. On the other hand, the assumptions, the key assumptions that we have made explicit are that this 13% accounts for the Danish compromise or is adjusted for the Danish compromise, and secondly, that we assume the level of bond yields to remain unchanged versus the previous year. Concerning the level of issuances that you specifically refer to MREL, here we're talking about around 2 billion of new issuances during 2023. On capital, yes, we need also to complete the PPA process for BPM Vita, which has been acquired in the second half of this year and is expected also this to contribute to total capital at the end of the quarter.
Thank you.
The next question is from Giovanni Razzoli of Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon to everybody. A couple of clarifications on my side. It seems like you have incorporated a relatively prudent assumption for NII in 2023, as you are factoring a 2% Euribor at 2.5 billion euros for next year. So if I look at slide number 15, am I reading correct that assuming another 50 basis points, we should add something like 100 million euros of higher NII to the stated target? And then on the deposit beta, also there, it seems like you've been very prudent because your peers are incorporated that level only for a higher level of Euribor. I was wondering whether you can share with us what was this sensitivity of the deposits in the past, if you have a kind of, you know, historical series to share with us. Second question, is it correct to assume that the underlying cost of risk in the third quarter is stable at around 55%? And you said that you have increased the coverage of bad loans and the UTP. Is that increase only related to the future disposal to the 500 million euros, or is it something, you know, to build additional buffers for the macro downturn? And related to that, Can you share with us what is the amount of provisions overlays that you are on balance today? Final question, can you remind me what is the impact of the call option on Vera Vita for 2023? Thank you.
Thank you. Here we are. So, of course, I understand that it's not that easy to make square the sensitivity with the forecast of increase of Euribor. I'm not too sure that the more you go ahead, the more you receive the same amount of money. I heard about also my colleagues who are in some difficulties, but I would say that 100 million is a prudent approach for considering another 50 basis points. In terms of deposit, what can I say? We were, of course, at 2-3 basis points when the interest rate, the Euribor was negative. We have almost 8-9 billion which are sort of floating, so linked to the Euribor. The rest is still at the level in which we were before. So the total is now, the average, as I mentioned before, 11 basis points. Nowadays, we are in the region of 14-15 basis points, so very much below the 41 of the sensitivity analysis. The cost of risk, yes, 55 is including, 60 basically is including what we already have provisioned in order to have further de-risking. We still are having, we think it's only fair to have a very good EPS projection considering a prudent approach on cost of risk. Then we will see if our approach is more prudent or not vis-à-vis other competitor, but we feel comfortable in giving you this kind of guidance and maybe trying to be better if the situation will be like this year at 1% of default rate. The overlay right now, I think, are at 125 million, so slightly below 140, which were in June. Maybe
you.
For the call option of Vera.
Yeah. For the call option of Vera, the data that we are using now are approximated based on the current level of own funds of Vera, and on the current level of net equity in the Vera, so what could be the fair value comparison. So I have a total amount measured by January 25 when Basel IV comes into play, which is minus 17 basis points. To be fair, this minus 17 basis points includes already the new weighting of Basel IV of the Danish compromise, even in BPM Vita. So there is part of this impact is due to BPM Vita. So the net to Vera is around 10 basis points.
Thank you.
The next question is from Christian Carrese of Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening. Thank you for the presentation. I have three questions. The first one on the guidance you provided on 2023, the EPS above 60 cents. I was wondering what kind of assumption have you got in terms of cost of risk. If I'm not mistaken, you are assuming a GDP flattish for 2023. So what are the assumptions according to this to this scenario, and if you have also an adverse scenario with a severe recession. The second question is on capital. If you can clarify the bridge to reach the 13% common equity tier 1 fully loaded by year end. In particular, I assume some benefit from the PNC business disposal, and maybe also there was some excess capital on BPM Vita that you can release, or if there is any capital tailwind that could help to reach that target? And finally, on net interest income, the guidance you gave for 2023 is based, just a clarification, is based on current rates, or you're looking at the forward curve by year-end for 2022? So just to understand what kind of upside you have on that number. Thank you.
Thank you, Carrese. Good evening. In the first question, you are even more demanding than the ECB, I would say, because you want to know in advance all the details. But let's say that what I was mentioning before, that our bank been normally very much more prudent, is also reflected in the cost of risk of 2023. So the assumption of 0.60 is not with a massive reduction of cost of risk, I would say, which is with a cost of risk which is implied in a zero growth. Common Equity Tier 1, I think we have already responded with Edoardo, is there are no other disposal, there is no other potential component. We think that we can reach 13 with the full impact of the Danish Compromise, plus some, plus of course, profitability of the quarter and some further optimization. In terms of NII, we think that we are based again on 200 basis points, so it's a bit lower than the curve, the forward curve, and only a few basis points more than the current Euribor situation.
The target 2023 is assuming what kind of a Euribor by year-end 2023?
An average of 200 basis points.
Okay. Thank you.
The next question is from Andrea Vercellone of BNP Paribas Exane. Please go ahead.
Good evening. One question and one clarification. The question is on your EPS target, both 2022 and 2023. I just wanted to make sure that these are clean EPS, so you have not included anything related to the possible disposal of the P&C or part of the P&C business, merchant acquiring, and so on, in either year. And the clarification is on the sensitivity, the 220 million for 100 basis points. Do you provide that guidance with a starting point Euribor rate at 0.75, as it was in September, or the current one at 1.5?
Thank you, and good evening, Mr. Vercellone. I will give you... No, the EPS is compared with the business plan of 2023, so we don't have any action, one-off, any particular contribution from capital management transaction, but just, you know, line by line, the projection of this new environment of Euribor projected to the figure that we have reached up to now. So we feel that basically, there is no one-off at all, so is the normal situation, the current situation projected one year ahead with the new interest rate environment. Edoardo, for sensitivity?
Yeah, sensitivity is being calculated using the models as they were in September, so they are not updated with an evolution in interest rate. But the key sensitivity of the sensitivity, if I think to the deposit beta, the increase in the deposit beta from June to September was 3 basis points, which is worth 30 million of sensitivity, just to give a ballpark.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is from Adele Palama of UBS. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good evening. I have one question on the asset quality detail slide. I see there's a decrease in performing loans. Can you explain what is driving that decrease on the gross performing loans? And then on TLTRO, sorry if you already mentioned it, but what's the plan, I mean, for the repayment? Are you planning any early repayment of the facility? And then on the deposit beta, can you please remind us what's the deposit beta behind your 2023 guidance? And then last on LLPs for the quarter, what's the amount of one-off in the total LLPs that you reported this quarter? Thanks.
I hope I understood all the question. Please clarify if I am wrong in the answering. No, the ratio maybe is because there is a decrease in bonus related to the repos activity, of course, not to the client, because you have seen that we are increasing the line for the client activity, so this should be the underlying factor. TLTRO, we didn't, of course, as you know, it's very recent, the decision, so of course we are changing all our plan, but it's very much possible that we wouldn't have any need for postponing the duration of the TLTRO. So by year end, we think that we can reimburse a consistent slice, I would say above 10 billion possibly of TLTRO. Beta behind 23 is what I mentioned, 41 basis points. And LLP is a one-off. No, in Q3 there is also only the, yes, some, of course, we have also always some maneuver on, you know, calendar provision impact, and also on increasing the coverage of our NPE stock. Is that all right?
And the euro million amount of that one-off LLPs?
I wouldn't say that is a one-off, but is around 30 million.
Okay, that means. And sorry, if
previous
I
one,
can add another.
You mean the previous? Sorry, Adele. You mean the previous, the one in the first and second quarter?
No. The third quarter.
In this quarter, again, is not a one-off, but is some more provision due to the calendar provisioning and the increasing of coverage.
Okay. And so if I can add another question, and apologies if you have already mentioned it, but are you planning to increase the govies portfolio? I mean, not specifically on Italian govies, but European govies, given the fact that has been down even this quarter.
We are currently analyzing the various alternatives in the new rate environment and in the new TLTRO funding, so we may proceed to very tactical investments, especially concentrated in amortized cost, to exploit opportunities for carry.
Okay, thanks.
At low duration, low BPV.
The next question is from Marco Nicolai of Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Good evening. A couple of questions from me. First is on insurance. So given that the process of buying back the insurance is now well underway, how do you feel about the targets that you gave during the strategic plan, in terms of insurance business contribution to the P&L? And do you have, at this point, any idea of the potential synergy you could extract from the integration of this two JVs? Also, you had 14 million contribution to P&L from BPM Vita this quarter. So what shall we expect from this line going forward? So is this kind of, you know, a target level, or we could expect even something more? Then another question on the M&A strategy. Also in light of the recent capital increase of Monte dei Paschi, I picked up obviously a few comments on the press on this, but if you could just give us an update on your view on M&A strategy going forward. And also if you could give us an update on Agos and how do you see behaving the consumer lending in this inflation environment. On one side, inflation could be a positive, let's say, in terms of consumer lending because volumes are kind of inflated as well. But at the same time, this is true only if consumer spending holds up. So how do you see this trade-off and what do you see for Agos contribution going forward? Thank you.
Thank you. Insurance. Of course, no, we have only one quarter in our balance sheet, so of course we have to consider the full year, and we still feel that apart from the situation driven also by the performance of the bonds and the reserves of the insurance company, which are non-performing very well, likewise, I would say the bond in our portfolio in terms of valuation, but the level of contribution is still the one that we mentioned in the plan, that is around for BPM Vita is around 29 million I think per year, and we can confirm that the level is this one. Of course, it's completely going to change the total contribution that we gave in 2024, which when we did the plan was done including 100% of both the company incorporated into our bank. Of course, the, if we will decide to sell the PNC to some of the current bidder, we will give you a new guidance on the total contribution coming from the standalone business driven by ourselves and PSC business driven by the joint venture. Of course, our consideration is that if we go with a very competitive and professional in the in bank insurance business is because we want to accelerate the results that we were forecasting when we did the plan, and so possibly what we lose in terms of contribution from the 100% will be compensated as much as possible by the speed of the pace of the joint venture driven by a professional insurer. Then M&A, frankly speaking, I don't have anything to add to what I said for many times, many years. I am very happy that MPS did his capital increase successfully. I am sure that now they have to work on their business plan, and of course I cannot say anything rather than we were not interested before, we are not interested now, and we go ahead in our roadmap that, as I mentioned in the figure that I expressed to you, we feel is very successful also on a standalone situation. Agos, this was a year record for Agos, so up to now things are doing very well. Of course, there is a bit of slowdown vis-à-vis the first half of the year due to the increase of Euribor, but at the same time, of course, as you were mentioning, this also the inflation gives some opportunity to, you know, to invest in consumer goods. So I think we will have, we don't have yet, of course, figure for 2023, but we expect a year which is at least like the one we had up to now.
The next question is from Luis Garrido of Bank of America. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Thank you for taking my questions. I have two on capital, if I may, please. Just on the Danish compromise, do you have any visibility for when you might be getting the approval? You booked a benefit of about 30 basis points now. Before the approval, you hinted there might be a greater benefit in the fourth quarter. Is that right? How much benefit and by when exactly? That's the first question. And then the second question I had is on your capital target and how you communicate around them. In the second quarter, you mentioned the 13% fully loaded guidance by year-end, including the Danish compromise. You also mentioned this MDA buffer target above 420 basis points by the end of the year. This is no longer in the slides now. Should I take it that that guidance is gone? And if it is, what is the MDA buffer level that you feel comfortable with going into a recession? Thank you.
Just on a general point, then I will leave to Edoardo the precise number. But we feel very comfortable, of course, both with 13% and 420 basis points. But this is not something that we would like to have as a target in the future. It's very much, I would say, abundant, especially if you consider the 420 basis points. So we think this is our guidance for the full year. But you know, going ahead, it's possible that we can use this capital. This is what we feel we can get by year-end.
So on the level of buffer, the 13% target we gave is fully consistent with the buffer that was provided in last quarter. We thought the market was interested not only to the capital, but we can confirm also the other guidance. For the Danish compromise, what we have put now is a conservative estimate of the benefit of the Danish compromise. The technicality behind the fact that we needed to have an estimate is that we haven't completed yet the PPA process for the stake in BPM Vita. Once this will be concluded, which is end of next quarter, we will be more precise in including a more accurate estimate of the benefit from the Danish compromise. On timing, this is not under our control. What we can say is that we submitted in July, the application for the financial conglomerate, which is a prerequisite for the Danish compromise. We feel that the conditions for the financial conglomerate can be easily verified, so it's just a matter of process management from the viewpoint of the various supervisors involved, which is not only ECB, but also IVASS, the insurance authority. After this financial conglomerate status is granted, then the organizational requirements on the Danish compromise, which are related to the ability of the bank to prove that it controls in full the insurance, manages the risk, has a clear grip on the key processes, this can be proved very easily from our perspective, at least, because actually since the day one of the acquisition of BPM Vita, the company entered seamlessly into an integrated approach with the group, adopting homogeneous policies, committees, and risk appetite framework. So we are not in a position to provide commitments for the supervisors. We are only in a position to provide confidence that the requirements are met.
Understood. Thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Andrea Vercellone of BNP Exane. Please go ahead.
Good evening. Sorry, one more. I'm referring to the slide 23. Maybe this one helps answering all of the questions on 13% at the end of the year. Can you give us an update on your reserves on debt security at fair value, the number that is now relative to the minus 628 million as of the end of September?
Yes, thanks, Mr. Barcellona. Actually, let me first clarify that the 13% is based on an assumption that reserves are not changed, or that the bond yields are not changed. So, in general, this is we don't have control on the evolution, the further evolution of the financial market, we can commit to the 13% there are no negative trends in the future level of reserves. What's happening in October is that we are very close to this to the level that you are showing here, the 6 to 8, and the number that we have today is, I think, slightly below, but
nothing material, so it's not coming from
material.
That. Thank you.
Gentlemen, there are no more questions registered at this time.
So thank you, everybody. I'm glad that you would have all the information we were providing. Of course, Mr. Peronaggio and IR team is available for any other clarification. Thank you and good evening.